Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We will be starting our class soon. Today is the 8th of August 2021, a Sunday. We will be sharing from this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. We are at page 106. The actual taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So this section of the topic is very important for those who have taken the Bodhisattva vow. It's like a revision for those who are new or have yet to take the vow. You can listen attentively to understand. Then after that, when you are ready, you can go ahead. Hopefully our next retreat, I think by next year, March, hopefully, the pandemic is much more contained. When we have herd immunity, then there is not much severe variant that can cause any more havoc. Then life can maybe return to slight better normalcy, then they can open up the economy and we can have our retreat again. If we have that, then next year will be a good year where I will include a slot for those who wants to renew their Bodhisattva vows and for new people who wants to take them. Then that retreat will be very unique and very important because it will mark the absence of 2 years, but 2 years of Zoom is also very useful. Then when we renew our retreat, by then, this time around, most Kayamitta would have very strong and good understanding of the cultivation, and many Kayamitta has progressed. Then when we are having the retreat again, is going to be very different because the nature there is very beautiful. The great beings' nature also very unique and very beautiful. Then with our collective consciousness and energy of all Kayamitas and cultivator, it can bring forth a very, very auspicious and beautiful retreat. Maybe another 8 or 9 days retreat will be just nice. And you will see, you will witness many things happen. A lot of Kayamitta is going to benefit and transform. So let us hope that the retreat is available. Okay, we will go on now. Actual taking of the Bodhisattva vows, page 106. This is now the moment of truth, and we will do it with understanding. The key word is you must take the vow with understanding, so that these vows can become very firmly established. We shall plant the seed of Bodhi by making this vow, by taking and making these vows. Then the 3 sets of pure precepts are actually the advice of the Buddha, and we have modified it a bit to suit our Bodhisattva way cultivation. These 3 sets of pure precepts actually cover the cultivation of all precepts. Because when you avoid all evil, we are understanding what constitutes evil. Then you will be cultivating all virtue and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. That means you are incapable of evil, hence cultivating all precepts. Then after that, the last set of pure precept is to cultivate and perfect all wisdom so that you can liberate, you can help liberate living beings and take them all across, thereby fulfilling the first of the 4 basic vows of a Bodhisattva. So these three sets of pure precepts will tie in with the four basic vows cultivation. That's the reason why they can become very powerful and beautiful, and it will make a big difference to your cultivation if you take them with understanding. Now we will recite the vow. We are following the Avatamsaka Sutta format. This Avatamsaka Sutra format is very beautiful. You listen attentively. Those who want to take it again or recite with me, you can. So I started by explaining. A Bodhisattva's vow can be found at the end of the Avatamsaka Sutra as given by Samantra Bhadra Bodhisattva or Pusien Pusa. He had advised that the Bodhisattva vow are to be taken with the following two famous verses from the sutta, because so far this is the best format or description. And I fully agree, because this format is very unique. Now compose your mind, develop the faith, then determine strongly with sincerity, faith and understanding, then together we shall take the four basic vow, or we shall recite them together. Taking of the four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Just as all previous Sukhatas, the Buddha generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too were this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and resolve to accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within our nature. This nature of mind further vow with utmost sincerity, faith and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the four initial, four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. This nature of mind vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of mind vow to endure and severe all vexation or suffering. This nature of mind vow to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of mind vow to perfect the 10 paramitas or 10 perfection, to realize the unsurpassed Sammasambuddhahood. Note, we will then take the additional vow so that it can help you break all your coming obstruction to bring about the way, so that you can cultivate more easily. Coming obstruction can be very powerful, and a lot of cultivators get trapped because of coming obstruction, and they cannot immediately move because of coming obstruction. Even in this line, when the sasana is still around, there are cases of this happening. For 10 to 15 years, you may be hindered or trapped because of past life coming obstruction. You may have misled people, caused them to lose their way. That's the reason why this coming obstruction can come back to obstruct you if you do not ask for forgiveness and do not do the repentance. You cannot break it. This is a very powerful way which my nature has developed through its own understanding from its past cultivation. Now I will share this with you all. This can also be applied to many other varying situations where you have to adjust it accordingly to suit your particular condition and need. But basically, it covers most situations where you can use it. Then you can use it to help others Just like in this life, I have helped many depressed people and living beings with problems born of their karmic obstruction. Okay, 4.2. Additional vow to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. Yes? The first one is, we will recite together. This one is asking for forgiveness from the Triple Gem. If by action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion, and heedlessness, this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Note, this asking for forgiveness from the Triple Gem is very important. If you have committed karmic offense against the Triple Gem or caused schism in the Sangha, such karmic offense can be very severe and your karmic obstruction will come and block or obstruct and disturb you. But the beauty of the Triple Gem is the moment you ask for forgiveness sincerely, the keyword is sincerely, it will neutralize the karmic obstruction immediately because the Triple Gem has already taken the vow to forgive all beings. Yeah. The vow of all enlightened ones. Now we will continue with the next few additional vows. So the second vow is for normal karmic obstruction, karmic negativity. Whosoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind has caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this coming obstruction can be amicably resolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then finally, this nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind, and strive on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate the law of karma again whenever it arises. So this affirmation is very important. Then the last one is, by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise as the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstructions or obstacles amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, to walk the path of Dhamma life after life, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vows. Because the universe is so vast, so immense, the possibility of karmic obstruction is really undefinable. So we don't know what karmic obstruction we may have missed out. So this fourth one is to cover all the others that we have not asked for forgiveness. And this one we invoke the power of merits. Okay, I'll read to you the notes. This fourth additional vow is very important because you invoke your own power of merits. This is the turn around to help you move again. Without this invocation of power of merits, this turnaround cannot happen. The karmic obstruction can be very deviant and can be very powerful too. So when you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, that it will dissolve itself. then you can connect back. Initially, you have to do this until your way is beyond the third stage of Bodhi mind development. At the third stage of Bodhi mind development, you will develop the very unique third phase cultivation to have the ability to illuminate your Buddha nature. This means you not only realize your true mind, but you also connect to your gateway, to the gateway to your nature. Then you will have the ability to develop the cultivation until you can illuminate this true nature within, until it becomes so different. Then you will know from then onward, you will never regress anymore. By then, all this karmic obstruction will be gone. Otherwise, you cannot realize that type of enlightenment. So the initial phase, before you hit the third stage of Bodhi mind development, you still have to ask for forgiveness to break your karmic obstruction. Then the last type of vow is the additional miscellaneous vow to help enhance your cultivation. So I'll read you the last additional miscellaneous vow to enhance our cultivation. This nature of mind vow to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. This nature of mind vow to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and to request their nature's constant blessing, protection and guidance, all, always. This nature of my vow to strengthen my five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya until they become balas or power, liar of the line, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. Note, do you know why we have to do all this? It's because most spiritual cultivators never perfect their spiritual faculty until they become unshakable. That's the reason why every life when they come, they have to train. They have to do all this training again and again, all over again. But this life, I realize that this nature of mine is different because when it comes, the moment I cultivate, the spiritual faculties are already there. That's the reason why I can just sit, silence the mind and just meditate. And I just know what to do. All this must have come from the vows. Otherwise, this nature cannot be what it is today. Life is very lucky. Everything goes its way. And it can just understand. Looks like too good to be true and so perfect. It can never touch psychic field and all those energy field things. I never learned all this in this life. Then how come it can happen naturally? Most likely, it is because of all this right view, the perfection, the aspiration and the vow. This teaching is either forgotten or lost. And you have to understand that every bodhisattva can evolve their own understanding and come out with better and better ones. Just like this line, this is what my nature understands, hence is able to share all this with all, with you all. This is the third additional vow. And the fourth additional vow is, this nature of mind vow to cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings and merits to help support my cultivation so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mind when needed in time of trial, difficulties and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. This is very important because if you don't have this extensive merits, blessings, and virtue to help you sometime along the way after a long period of cultivation, certain bodhisattva find it very difficult to continue. But when you have this extensive virtue, merits, and blessings cultivated, it can help support your cultivation. Then they will shine forth to help you in time of tribulation, difficulties, and maybe difficult situation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Mm. So I read the notes to you. This additional vow is very important because by nature realized without this virtue, blessing, and merits, it's very difficult to walk this way. That's the reason why my nature came to realize that a lot of Zen master, when they come, they suffer a lot and they have to go through a lot of difficulties because their focus is too much centered on cultivation alone. Virtue are equally important. Love, compassion, merits, and blessing are equally important. That's the reason why Sakyamuni's way is very good and very straightforward. He set up the Sangha and the laities. That's the reason why he said you must keep the precepts. Then follow that type of practice and cultivation. For according to Lord Buddha, virtue is the source of true happiness and joy. Virtue is the source of true peacefulness of mind. But the last one is the best. Virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. You will gain spiritual wealth when you make offerings to the worthy ones. In return, they will share with you the Dhamma and they will send blessing to you. That's why you must make the vow, the aspiration we are reciting, Imina Punyang Kamina, etc., meaning invoking the power of merits we are reciting by the power of whatever merits that you have cultivated. May arise the causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. But you must also understand who are the heedless, or who the heedless are, and who the enlightened ones are. If you don't cultivate and have the right view and right understanding, you cannot identify them. You may have the vow, but it's of not much use because you don't even know who are the heedless and what constitute evil. Hence, you are still gullible and you still can become their good friends, even though you have made the vow to avoid meeting them. It is because you vow without understanding, like I used to tell you all. You vow to meet up with Maitreya Buddha when he arrives. And because of that, when he arrives, very likely, you are born. You may meet him, but you cannot recognize him. So not much use, right? This is because you do not know what the qualities of the Buddhas are. If you do not cultivate the understanding and affinity. So that's the reason why we chant the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Iti peso bhagava, swakato bhagavata dhammo, supadipano. So these are the salutation to the Triple Gem so that you know who is the Buddha and what are the nine great virtues. Then you know, salutation to the Dhamma, what is the Dhamma? What are the unique characteristics of Dhamma? Then who are the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Sangha? We chant them, that's why we know them. The four unique character of enlightened being. Oh, right duty, upright duty, wise conduct, and finally, dutiful conduct, they do their duty very well. They have right and upright conduct. So these are all very important understanding. Okay, so I will finish off this last one. This is because you do not know what the qualities of the Buddhas are, and you do not cultivate the understanding and affinity. You may have problems. You just vow to meet, but you don't recognize them when you meet them. Then how can you follow them? Hence, doubt can arise. Just like the merchant that I share with you. The worst is when you meet him, you abuse him because you cannot recognize him. When that happens, nobody can help you to abuse the Sammasambuddha. If you abuse the Sammasambuddha, no amount of repentance can help you because that one is really heavy karma. Unless you sincerely ask for forgiveness. Okay, we can end our today's session with the understanding of what constitutes the 10 perfections leading to Sammasambuddhahood. So that is the last topic that I haven't shared with them under this section of taking of the vows. Because when you have your fourth basic vow, you vow to perfect the 10 perfections, you must also know what are the 10 perfections and how you can develop the understanding to cultivate them. So this one, I remember at that time, I just give you a summary of it, but it's a very important summary so that from there you can expand on it and understand how the perfection come with the four basic vow, come with all the right view and the important understanding that I have incorporated into the yellow card of the Bodhisattva vow. Then you see the connection. Like I say, after you take that vow, follow that format. Technically, you don't have to do anything. You only need to be sincere, then have faith and persevere, and that cultivation will take you along. Naturally, it will move by itself. You just echo and flow. First perfection is Dana Parami or Generosity Parami. That's why you come for the living being. You have a lot of kindness, a lot of love and compassion, and you are very generous. You serve people with an altruistic mind, and you don't think of yourself anymore. That's the reason why Dana Parami or Generosity Parami is very powerful. Then the gift of truth, the gift of service, helping out and doing whatever you can to relieve suffering of living beings. It's all part of generosity parami. Especially when your cultivation has reached certain level of perfection, your dana parami move from materialistic to helping people, to teach the Dhamma, the gift of truth, the gift of service is to help people. Then to help out and do whatever you can to relieve suffering of living being. That is the work of the Bodhisattva. So these are all part of the Dana Parami. That's why you look at my nature this time. This is what I teach and give. Most of my mission this time is to set the path, to let people understand so that they can move. Then I share Dhamma because my nature's priority is to train the real cultivator. I don't need big numbers, I need qualities, small numbers who can move and teach and propagate this and share this. So the gift of truth is very important. Then the gift of service. My nature serve humanity based on condition and understanding, the accord and the flow. Then it come to fulfill its vow, because whatever vow my nature has made, it will have to fulfill. That's why it will help wherever there is condition to help. So helping out and doing whatever you can to relieve suffering of living being is all part of this Dana Paramit. When you have the means to help and you are very generous, then you can cultivate generosity Paramit very easily. You can bring about the causes and conditions for many beautiful things to unfold. Just like this life, all our Kayamita has done so. Sorry, I read again. Just like this life, all our Kayamita had done so much wholesome things via our Kayamita funds, Dana Parami. And this can help Kayamita generate a lot of very wholesome merits and virtue. So generosity is the function of a generous heart. That's why I set up this Kayamita fund so that more and more Kayamita can learn to cultivate more generosity and perfect themselves. Then you will also come to realize when you can do this, there's a lot of joy seeing your ability to contribute and help. And this will be the training ground for you to develop the perfection of this parami, the first perfection of generosity. So this part, bear in mind. Generosity is the function of our generous heart. Remember this word. When you radiate love, metta, loving kindness, and compassion, and because you come for living beings, all these are very wholesome Dana Parami. They are the gift of truth, the gift of love. When you radiate metta, when you share your kind thoughts, when you invoke power of merit for wholesomeness, all these are generosity Parami. So radiation of good thoughts, they are very powerful generosity Parami. That's why generosity doesn't mean you must have money. What you need is sincerity, a good heart, the understanding of Dhamma, and you must have kind thoughts, kind words, good speeches, virtue. Then you can radiate them. You can share, you can give, you can transfer, merits, everything. That is part of generosity. That's why this Dana Parami, when you develop the Bodhisattva vow, walk the Bodhisattva way, you will cultivate them extensively until you fulfill. So this Parami is, to me, automatically you will do. And just now I also share, maybe I read this part to you first. When you develop great compassion and love for living beings, you also have great parami, because that virtue is very powerful. Then what I want to share is, like just now I explained, my nature this life when it comes, I look back, it's so different. Well, I also observe a lot of other great teacher or masters whom my nature read about or encounter. Even you look at Master Xuan Huo, Xu Yun Lao He Sang, and the what they call six patriarch, the second patriarch, third patriarch, fourth, fifth, and sixth patriarch. Their lives are not easy, although they are patriarch, but they come during that era, that civilization. And despite their limitation, they still able to receive the Dhamma. But the way they cultivate is very different from others. So you see, everyone is different. Some are more blessed, some are less, I wouldn't say less blessed or less fortunate, but it's because there is this all focus on cultivation. When you all focus on cultivation, this is what will happen. You forgot about the other parami, the generosity parami. But this is the Bahami that will bring for a lot of wealth to you, a lot of good, wholesome condition for you to do the generosity and to have the ability to receive all this wealth so that you are independent. You don't have to depend on other people's contribution or donation. Not to say you don't accept, no. That's why I set up my Kaya Mitta Fund or other thing. This is part and parcel of the thing. But on my own, personally, my nature has the part of me and I am successful in life, in almost every aspect of life. And I have enough. You can say dana parami to give me that type of condition to live the good life and to do what I want to do, and I don't have to depend on anybody. Then when condition requires of me, I will do the donation, the offering, the generosity. During the early day, I contribute a lot to the Kaya Mitta Fund because I know the Kaya Mitta Fund need more money to do the generosity. Then later on, I realized I don't have to do that anymore because a lot of Kaya Mitta who understand this starts to make donation, offering and all things. And without me knowing, suddenly I heard from Sayat and Stephanie, the two treasurer, that they receive a lot of offerings. Then I know I don't have a problem anymore. I have enough money to do merits, wholesomeness for Kaya Mitta. That's how the thing grows. As we have more and more of this Kaya Mitta Fund, we can do more things. Then we can benefit more people. That's why our website are all funded by Kaya Mitta Funds. Our book publication for free distribution are all by Kaya Mitta Funds. Then whatever material that we use for our sharing, the recording, the video, everything, and the maintenance of the website, everything, the Kaya Mitta Fund is the only fund that can do it. That's why the wholesomeness is all from the Kaya Mitta Funds. And because of this, we find it very easy. Then when we have spiritual trip, when we have meditation retreat, when we have whatever spiritual activity or condition to do charity or wholesomeness, we can just donate, no problem. And we have the condition and the means. And that is the way I feel. When you come with this understanding, you don't have to go through that type of what they call very tough condition and tough life. I realize all this come along naturally on its own. And I have good understanding of investment and all this thing. And I know how to manage my funds and my career, everything. I realize all this is part of my understanding on the past that make that aspiration, the vow and all those things. That's why I realized I was very good in all these things. And whatever my nature needs, the pure which is very powerful, it just comes by itself. Sometimes I didn't even ask for it, but because it's already in the nature's law, that's why it arises, it happens. There are a lot of things that you never believe happen. So there are quite a lot that I have shared with people. I think they will also know. But apart from that, there are a lot more which there is no condition I didn't share. But just let things be. What I want to share is this generosity for me is very important. So you have to take care of it while you come. Not only cultivation alone. Cultivation, of course, is very important, very useful. But when you cultivate merits, wholesomeness, virtue, these are the final product of cultivation. When your cultivation reach perfection, all this virtue will surface. That's why I realize all this come towards the end. So those who over focus on cultivation came to realize this too late. Then by that time, they finish. They realize that parami is lacking, so they have to start all over again. That's why I said the Bodhisattva way, the perfection. Different people do it differently. Some, when they come, they do it simultaneously. Some, when they come, they focus on cultivation. They want to become enlightened very fast. They want to learn the Dhamma very fast. But the 10 perfection covers all aspects of virtue, not only the wisdom aspect. And they didn't really realize after you finish the cultivation, the wisdom aspect, then you realize the final product is virtue. Virtue, understanding. So it's like that chicken and egg story. If you know that they are all part of the cultivation, then you can approach it from any direction. That's why I said the 10 ground Bodhisattva way is not accurate. But the 5 Bodhi mind development is very accurate. Yeah, that one you cannot shortcut on. You have to go according to that to realize the whole of the Bodhisattva way cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Okay, we go back to the notes. Then you develop moral values. You are keeping your precepts or sila. So after dana parami is sila parami, is morality, keeping your precept. Meaning you determine not to violate the nature's law of karma, because you have right view with regards to the law of karma, and you maintain the wholesomeness of virtue to avoid all evil. We are following the advice of the Buddha. Then after that, renunciation or nikama is the 3rd perfection. Nikama is the Pali word for renunciation. You cultivate, we are developing wisdom to severe all attachment. So when your wisdom is being cultivated, then you can have the understanding to severe all suffering, because you no longer deluded and you will not cling, attach and hold. And that is the reason why the final summary of the 1st Noble Truth is the cause of suffering, of course not explained by the author of the book, Master Sanyin. According to the Buddha, is all of suffering comes from self-delusion that condition you to grasp onto the 5 aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me. So all of this grasping, clinging is the cause of suffering. So when you have the wisdom not to be deluded, you won't attach, you won't cling, you can endure and severe all suffering, the section, and renounce the conditioned world and the entire phenomenal world. That's how renunciation can be perfected. So the renunciation parami is very powerful. When you have the wisdom, you can renounce all things. Means the cause of suffering is attachment, craving, clinging, holding on to things. With self-delusion, believing that the 5 aggregates of form and mind is real, the phenomenal world is real, the phenomenal world of consciousness and form is real. So all this will lead to the understanding via perfection of wisdom. Then when the wisdom is there, you can subdue all suffering, all affliction. So your Bodhi mind that has that wisdom and the understanding can give rise to the perfection of renunciation. Because by then you can renounce all things, nothing matter. You will not be deceived and deluded, because renunciation is so powerful. Not only become a monk, you can renounce Like the Bodhisattva, a certain life, when he was tested, he gave up his human form to feed the tigers that were wounded. Then he sacrificed so many, because he know the form and mind is not real. But please, your cultivation is not at that level. Don't try to like follow, use your knowledge. Hey, the Buddha did that, I think I must also do. No, when you are not ready, when you do it with delusion, you are being gullible, foolish. But when you are ready, the appropriate causes and conditions are there, then all these things can happen. And so it's something very beautiful. Yeah? So I will read on that, then hopefully you all can understand. If you come with a clear understanding that this form of mind is not you, but only a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world, to live and experience life and to develop the cultivation, then there is no more delusion or problem. As the user of thought, you will then know how to use the mind to arise the right thought, so as to be a blessing to all. You will understand all this, otherwise you will have problems. Then for the perfection of wisdom, you have the ability to realize it via your vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to perfection. That's why you take the Bodhisattva way and come to experience life extensively, cover all aspects, all period of civilization, world system, all these things. So all this will enable you to fulfill your vow, to actually cultivate extensively and perfect all wisdom. So this perfection of wisdom is very important. You will have the ability to realize it via your vow to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas to perfection. Then regarding the spiritual seed, spiritual tenacity or spiritual the energy, spiritual zeal or energy to go this way. When you take the refuge and vow, the faith of Sada will be there. And that's the reason why this virya will be there. When your faith is developed to understanding, it will drive you to cultivate. So this spiritual zeal will be there. And this virya is a very strong driving force to enable you to cultivate. That's why people develop faith. The perfection of faith is the beginning of all cultivation. Without faith, the spiritual faculty, you cannot move. So with faith comes this spiritual zeal, virya. Virya is one of the 10 perfection. That's why you will develop it. Because of your faith, your sadha. And you do with understanding. Then regarding patience or kanti, it means you are not in a hurry anymore to fulfill all this vow. You can take your time to fulfill all this vow and cultivate to perfection all the paramita so that you can develop all the requisite wisdom and virtue needed to do this work. You will get to cultivate all the understanding and get to experience all of the wonders, the pristine wonders and beauties of life, so that you can come back to continuously perfect your karmic nature and your spiritual nature. All this can be very beautiful and meaningful, especially after you have completed stage 3 and go on to stage 4, where you have the wisdom to renounce samsara, the bohi mind that renounces samsara. Means to you, samsara is nothing already. People who are deluded, gullible, they say, oh, you all take so long, I want to speed it out. These are all still having marks and delusion. But once you understand, especially after stage 3, you penetrate your wisdom, your perfection, your understanding, they are like move very fast. Then you can renounce samsara. During the fourth stage, the bohi mind that renounces samsara, that is your best cultivation period. That time, every life you come is so beautiful, your form and mind. Because you can actually perfect yourself and develop that phase three Dhamma Pativeda. You get to connect early, perfect yourself, and live the wondrous life, the beautiful face of Dhamma Pativeda, the face that reaps the reward of your hard work and perfection. Is the life of enlightened being. So all these are very beautiful. And after that, we move on to the next parami. Yeah? So after spiritual zeal is patient. After patient, we will move on to perfection of wisdom. Yeah? Okay, I'll read this final sentence again. You will get to cultivate all the understanding and get to experience all of the pristine wonders and beauties of life so that you can come back to continuously perfect your karmic nature and spiritual nature. So this is the final understanding. All this can be very beautiful and very meaningful. After you have perfected the understanding and wisdom, you will never lie again because you know it's not worthwhile to do it. It's not worth the whatever condition to do it, then the truthfulness or satya is very easy to perfect because you have no more delusion, means there is no more mark of a snail trying to cheat and take advantage of things. So this parami or satya means truth can be perfected naturally. You have no more selfishness. You will be very sincere and truthful in the way you go about doing things. That's how you can be very sincere about all things. You can just admit things, yeah, sorry, that was my mistake. If I, whether knowingly or unknowingly, cause you any misunderstanding or suffering, I mean, you would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. You will not try to hide your mistake. Yeah, this is for my mind, not what you think. No more a reality. And nature's law is such, it's never worthwhile to break all this karmic thing. Then all this cultivation will become like very easy. Then the eighth perfection is adhittana, making of aspiration, affirmation, vows. It's very easy because this one is my specialty. My nature has more or less perfected this perfection. Hence, I can understand it very well. That's the reason why I know how to make use of the power of merits for making aspiration, do repentance. We are asking for forgiveness, etc., to help you all in your cultivation, and also how to invoke the power of merits to help you overcome your coming obstruction. These are not stated in the teaching. The repentance they do is somewhat different, even for the case of Master Sun Yan, as evident by his explanation. Then I say, if there are causes, if there are conditions, I will share more with you. It's stated in his book. You can read it. You can go through it, read through it, and to understand why his repentant teaching is different. Eh? At that time, I don't have much time. I need to finish up. And as I always explain, different cultivators come with different understanding. He has his way. To me, this is the complete way. His is one aspect of cultivation. Then the next perfection is loving kindness or metta, universal love. Without loving kindness and compassion, you cannot save living being. So the first vow will allow you to fulfill this perfection of loving kindness and compassion. So compassion is also stated as the number nine perfection, love and compassion. Then the last of the 10 perfection is equanimity or upeka, enlightenment factor. This one is born of wisdom. Again, all these can be perfected. If you look at the 10 perfection, it's like very easy after you have developed the four basic bound. With this, we shall end our today's sharing. Shall we all rejoice? So we also rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then at the bottom of the card, there is a note to explain to you all what these 10 perfections are. So, like I have gone through with you just now, Dana Parami, that's Sila Parami, then renunciation, Nikama, then wisdom, then spiritual zeal, patience, Kanti, then truthfulness, Satya, then Adithan, which is your affirmation of truth, your great resolve, your determination, your vow, etc. Then loving kindness and compassion, metta and karuna. Then of course number 10 is equanimity or upekkha. This upekkha is different from the fourth jhana. Always remember, fourth jhana is a conditioned mind state. Your mind is conditioned into the upekkha state. It's not born of a free mind that has the wisdom. This number 10 is a free mind born of wisdom. When you have the perfection of equanimity perfected, then your mind is different. You no need to be in a state of samadhi or concentration or a conditioned state to be free of suffering. That's why that last parami is very difficult to develop. And that one, normally, after all the other enlightenment factor arise, then your perfection or wisdom finish. And then this free mind in that state of equanimity supported by wisdom can arise. That's how it's to be done. Okay, maybe we stop here. We stop here. Okay. We stop here. Okay. So I'll mark this page. Then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So today we cover very good and extensive topics. Okay, we are at page 113. Okay, we are off the light. Then you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, off the light. So as usual, relax body and mind. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then silence everything. Stabilize the awareness first. Then use it to meditate. Use it to understand clearly what that nature is. When you understand that nature, you will know who are you, what are you. Then from that nature, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the thought process, they come out very fast. So whatever arise, let it be, don't follow, don't be distracted by it. Maintain silent, away. Then you will understand many things. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Your mind state should be very quiet, very still, and very tranquil. That is your true mind. That is your awareness nature within. So you silence everything and use that to live life, to observe, to understand, then to see clearly how you function as a human, how thought arise, how thinking arise, how perception arise, how sankhara activity arise, how it stir, react, become emotion, what trigger, everything you will come to understand. Maybe we can continue with our second session. Second session is more like meditation reporting, followed by question. If you have any question,
Radio.
Ah, yeah, MB.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Radio, yeah. Mr. Steele, and yeah. All Kalyamita. Yeah. Namo Buddhaya. It's been
Namo Buddhaya.
Yes, it's been quite some time. I haven't come into here. I would like to do this reporting, I should say.
Sadhu, very good. Okay.
It was yesterday, Saturday morning. I was, as usual, once woke up, I continue, after go toilet, I pay respect to the triple gem, and then I continue the lie down.
Yes, meditation, that one place,
how should I say, it settled down, and then, the breathing as usual, it became very subtle. It's breathing internally,
correct, like hardly any breathing at all.
Very subtle.
Very, very subtle.
And then the can detect the vibration near the heart area.
Yes, very good. So that's very important.
I just stay there, lor.
That is what you're supposed to do. Don't do anything else. That's why I said, don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just let it move. Then it will detect, and you will do a lot of things. After that, you will know. Then it become very, very quiet. Then completely without sankhara, nothing. That is the most beautiful realization. Then you will know what that nature is. Then from there, it moves very fast. And any of your senses detect, come in, then that movement come back again. But if you have stabilized it, you can see it very clearly. From that nature, for it to arise again, it's not so easy already. You are like completely different already, not like normal people where that heedless thinking, the non-stop thinking, the sankhara movement, that one become like so habitual, so heedless, they also don't know what is going on. Whereas for cultivator like us, we have gone through all this realization and transformation, then that mind is so different. From that one, you want to go back to the old one, it cannot really. It understands a lot of things. Then the awareness is there, dominating the mind. Very good, Sadhu. You continue with your description.
And then like Brother Teo said, the awareness is very clear. And also like what Brother Teo has been telling us, if I put the awareness at any part of the body, it's very clearly
sensitive.
Yes.
You can detect a lot of things there.
All the fluctuation, all the
vibration, movement.
Vibration.
Then sometimes you stay at a certain area, the byproduct is gaseous. It's like you fuck out of it. It come out. Especially at your abdomen area, you happen to be there, you're silent and stay there. Oh, then it release all the toxin or byproduct. So in the form of gaseous, then it will come out. Then how it come out, also you will be aware. Then many other movement can also happen, and you will learn all this, and you will understand all this. Then that nature, you know, has that purifying force. That nature's energy is pure energy. Then it will do its work. Different places that need to do its work, you will move there. Then you will know clearly what happened. Then sometimes that area need to be activated. Activated means the awareness do the work. Then like we used to say, of course, this one is the description of our nervous system. They call it the chakra and the nadis. So some of these, they need to be activated and released out. Then it will move there and it will do its work in the form of awareness. The awareness is the pure silent energy, the pure energy. That's why, because you know how to do it and you can do it, that's why I explain all this. Well, this one, other people cannot understand one. That nature's energy is without thought. That's why it's from that nature, the pure energy, which is without thought. So without thought, there is no duality. There is no like evil root or whatever. It's just that nature. That's why it can activate and move. Then it can like make it heighten the awareness. Then that vibration of that whole thing become more and more quiet, more and more still. Then your true mind's nature starts to transform. And a lot of things will happen. But before that is, of course, you have to go through all the gross transformation stages like you experienced last time. It takes time to settle down, then shift of consciousness, then that heartbeat, the pounding all slow down, then the breathing become very subtle, required. All those phases, I believe, you must have gone through. So now is you are moving to this silent mind, the quiet mind. Now this one you need to understand more. You describe, you continue, maybe.
My line is not stable a bit. Yeah, it's okay. Then
it's clear.
It's clear. It's clear, huh? Then during the silencing the mind, the body, I just leave it like that. I think in between the body, even though the breathing is subtle,
yes,
but in between one or two times, the body just do the deep breathing by itself.
Correct. It will happen.
Just breathe in, and the whole body stretching out, and then
That is called the natural relaxation. It's movement. Then sometimes it will give a type of
deep breathing.
Just come out like that. Or whatever. That is actually the pure energy doing its work already. Then you actually recuperating and transforming inside. That's why that one is the nature going to the gateway and the whole body. Wherever it's supposed to activate and move, it will move. Then sometimes it's like it make you like tingling sensation, that the whole thing just move and vibrate for a while. Then after that you go back, then it will happen. It keep on moving and all this phenomena will continue to happen. Yes. Sadhu.
I think at least two times.
So, then different cycle, different period, different meditative condition, different thing will happen. Then the movement actually is not for us to choose, because it's to that nature, trust. We trust that nature to do. We didn't do anything. We sometimes only when we want to understand more, that it stay there, then we continue to let it stay there. Then you realize when it stay there at a certain places, everything becomes very quiet and very still. Then you know that nature is that nature. That one that want to think is another one. Then that one is no longer like before. Cannot behave like before already. Then from there, you can decide what nature want to do. Then you can observe, see, understand, and many of these things will start to unfold. Very good, Sadhu. You continue to describe English. Yeah, now maybe it's the phase where you experience more and more of all this. Then because it is new to you, the description part, you use your own word, you don't worry. Whatever word you use, those who gone through, they will understand what actually happened. Very good. Continue.
Yeah. Actually, this stretching of the whole body automatically, I shall say, is happened before, but I just aware and ignore it. I never keep it in my mind. But this morning was very strong. I said I must report.
Sadhu, very good. That's why you report, I can advise you and explain the whole movement to you. Because this part I never explained before, unless people can do it and really reach that phase. For you, I know you can do it, that's why you can describe it. Then I can explain further so that it becomes something useful. Then when you listen to all this sharing again later, after all this gone and stabilized, you will understand what I mean and my words will become more and more clear to you. Then that time you become very different again, which is very, very beautiful. That's why all this awareness-based meditation manifestation, normal people cannot do. Thought-based people cannot even understand what is going on. But this one is a movement by itself through that nature's trust. We trust that nature to do that movement. Then the awareness that is aware, all this description, we have to use our own words. That's why I say you can use whatever words to describe it. Those who have gone through, they will understand your words. It is not the 文字, it's the thing that is happening inside there. And the thing that is happening inside there can be described in whatever way. But those who gone through, they will know. It's just like Huining, the Thai, and the nun. They were exchanging the question and all those things. Then Huining told her, I'm an illiterate. I don't understand the words, the language. Then the nun was very surprised. How can you understand the teaching when you don't even understand the word? Then Huining had to slowly explain to her. He said, the words is just a skillful means or a pointer to point at that thing. But that word is not that thing. That thing is beyond thought, beyond words, beyond reality. So if you have not realized it, you cannot understand. Then only the nun start to understand what Huining means. Then he realized a lot of things we technically no need to use words, no need to use concept. But within the conditioned world, to express things, to communicate, to explain, we need words. We need idea, we need description and all that. And all this is what thought is for learning and other things, to express things, to describe things. So all this understanding, the cultivator will know. That's why their reliance is on the awareness. The awareness is the one that really developed the understanding, the awakening, the insight, everything. Then from there, you use word to explain to people, to describe, to share, and to understand all this. Otherwise, you cannot teach, you cannot share. But these people haven't understood, haven't realized it. They haven't gone through all this meditative experience and understanding and transformation. So if you don't use words, they cannot understand. Initially, they try to understand your word, but that is not the real thing. And they will know if that is not the real thing. But once they're silent, they're able to go into that silent mind stage and develop all the cultivation following the understanding, then they will move through all those phases, which is the general pattern of movement can be different. Different people approach from different direction and different stage. But ultimately, you have to go through all those transformation and phases, and that one cannot run. Some may be faster, some speed up, some from other direction, anger they come, but they will go through the same movement, the same transformation. That's why our Bohi mind, our Bohi true mind, our nature, our true nature, we call it the Bohi mind. That development got a lot of process inside there. Even the stage one, stage two, already a lot of movement. The stage one what we describe now and what you go through now is mainly still the stage one movement. After the Bodhi mind, you take the vow, you take the what they call affirmation, plant the Bodhi seed, then you cultivate, then you start to transform. Then that movement is a very long stage until you move beyond stage two to locate the gateway. Then some, they can locate the gateway, but they cannot go in because they have not reached that type of wisdom and understanding to go in. Then some go in, but just the consciousness went in where their wisdom not refined enough, and they cannot understand what are those movements. So I should say the consciousness and the wisdom, they must go hand in hand. So people who cultivate like ourselves, most of us from the Theravada tradition, we go into the Mahayana, we will do the wisdom understanding first, the Dhamma understanding first. Then only we move into the consciousness. So when you move into the consciousness, like what you are starting to do now, your wisdom is ahead of your consciousness. That's why a lot of these things you can start to understand, then the three characteristic all you can understand much faster. That's why that movement will be initially the wisdom first, then consciousness follow later. But because of the wisdom, the consciousness can move faster. That's why you can go beyond stage one, then later on, if you are diligent, your faith is strong, stage two, then you can severe and subdue all affliction. Means endure, severe, and subdue all affliction. Then that one is the renunciation part, the wisdom part, the cultivation part, more or less finished. Then you move on to stage three. Stage three is you can actually illuminate your nature very clearly. So to do that, you have to slowly locate the gateway. Gateway is only the silent mind can locate. When that nature stabilizes, then only it can detect. Once it detects, you just silently allow trust. Then it's like something moved by itself, like how to describe it? It's like it melt inside there. Then whatever yin yang energy or whatever awareness energy, that the meditative energy that we have developed, but that one still have yin and yang because it has not gone through the silent nature. So when it goes through the silent nature, the gateway, then it becomes pure energy. Whatever energy that going become pure energy. Then this pure energy is that nature's energy that actually activate the movement inside, the chakra, the nadi, everything. But initially it's the awareness doing it. The awareness doing it not through the gateway is the first phase, stage one, stage two. Then stage three is through the gateway on. That one, trust onward on. That one is you have to realize the perfection and the wisdom and the understanding to a certain stage of understanding, then only it can go and develop the whole movement to take you along the Bodhisattva way until you can illuminate your nature very clearly. Until that nature to you is so clear and you know what that thing is. At that time, the mundane mind got no more power, loses all its power. It cannot deceive you anymore, cannot delude you. No matter what condition when you arise, you have that understanding and that spiritual nature. You will inherit and you will reach that level again, like Huineng, born without the mundane mind, or he has that right there. Then that time, he can understand through Dhamma very fast. He will inherit. Then all these movements become very different. Then that Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature very clearly is the stage three. After that, you never regress anymore. So this whole movement and transformation is a very, very long cultivation, wide scope of cultivation. And cultivator who do awareness-based meditation, taking the Bodhisattva way, they have to go through this. There is condition, that's why now I explain this part. Now this part, nobody has really reached that condition to understand. So now there is condition that I explain it. Sadhu to you. So you can continue.
The auto stretching the whole body, then the mind just goes straight at the heart area to feel Sadhu. The vibration again.
Sadhu.
Yeah. So after that I can aware that I'm smiling.
Yes.
I'm smiling.
Radiant smile, yes.
Yeah, I'm
smiling. You will be aware. Because that nature smile by itself. That is
yes.
That metta come out is different. No words one. It's from that nature. It's completely different one. It's not conditioned by thought one. If that nature has that smile, that joy, that love, that understanding, then that nature is just like that. That's why it's different from people doing the meditation. Wow, very serious on the face. That one is not relaxed. A lot of tension. This one very relaxed, silent. And it has that nature that understand. Then the radiant smile, they will come up. Very good, Sadhu.
I don't know whether it's radiant smile or not, but just a smile like
you will know one because you
deep
know
inside,
from inside it has that smile, and that smile can only be radiant because that one is without thought. That's why I use the word radiant. We have with thought is clouded, it cannot be radiant. There is a conditioned state where that emotion is actually from the thought. That's why they initially use thought to radiate. May they use word all beings be well and happy, then neighbor. But later on, from that nature, it come out on is without word. Then all this you will start to slowly go through. Then later on, when you come out of it, that's why you know this is something you need to maybe share and develop more understanding. That's why today you have the good condition, and it's really like meant to be. You put up your hand and you requested to do this sharing, which is very, very beautiful. The condition will unfold. So this is really a very auspicious occasion for us all to develop better understanding of what the cultivation is. That this style of cultivation, you really very hard to come about or come across. Where this is awareness based from that nature, it more. Very good. Continue. You describe some more. What else did you experience?
The smile come and then go off and then come again.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, then the mind or the awareness want to aware that my eyes is very comfortable, very soothing.
Sadhu.
The eyeball
Sadhu.
Very relaxed.
Yes. Then you will understand what relax means, because it's so different from last time. This one is that whole physical body and nature relaxed. That's how you can feel all this. Then sometimes all this movement is like without effort or no, effortless inside there or no. It happened by itself. And the awareness is, then there is this joy. Like Pojang used to say, how amazing this thing happening by itself. It is so beautiful. Yeah. Oh, very good, Sadhu. So now you have already come to all these stages and phases of experience. Then later on, a lot more will happen. Right. You continue to describe whatever you've gone through. Very good, Sadhu.
Then, all the while, I've been relaxing my jaw. You see, the jaw is not relaxed if...
But
teeth, upper teeth and lower teeth are together.
Yes,
I must open a little bit and then the tongue is on the palate.
Ah, palate, yes.
this, that's why I say even when I'm aware or conscious, I can hear the sound of the craw or what.
Yeah.
Now I understand because of the jaw relaxing,
yeah.
The space and the water element, the space, right. The whatever vibration inside, maybe cause that sound.
Yeah.
So I understand now.
Sadhu. That's why you have to go through
to understand. Then all this become possible, and there is so much joy because this kind of movement, the normal cultivator or meditator cannot really. They are so strongly engrossed with the thought process, thought-based meditation. And thought-based meditation cannot have condition to understand all this. This one need complete relaxation and just the awareness there. Then the form of mind just has its own movement based on that natural state of movement. Then the awareness is with it. Understanding what is going on, that's it. Then when you describe it to the cultivator himself who go through this and those who have gone through, they will understand. And this is what I mean by the beauty of cultivating this awareness-based meditation, realizing that nature, the true mind, the possibility of its movement, that's why it's very immense. And there is so much thing, like I always say, not until people have the condition to reach all this cultivation, my nature cannot share and explain all this because there is no condition. Even if I share, people may not understand. They may are just blank. They say, what is all this? But since some of Paramita has gone through and some of you have the ability to understand, that's why when you describe them, my nature will know there is condition. Then I will explain the related one, then the one that is needed after this. So all this will come out. That's why this recording is very good. This one, you will really develop the joy and the understanding when you listen to all this. And this will become much clearer later on as you move on to the next phase of transformation and understanding. Oh, very good. So now after you know how to be in that state, stabilize it, then know how to develop the relaxation, the trust, then you'll start to experience a lot of new things that you never went through before. And this one is the part which is actually the more detailed happening. Last time, you remember, you just know that this nature is very beautiful because it can be like hear the chirping of the bird, the distant sound, then the oneness and all those things. Then you can start. That one is the initial phase. Then now what you go through on is the nature start doing the transformation from the awareness nature itself. The awareness nature is starting to do the movement inside. But this one is not through the gateway yet. The gateway one is another phase, which is very beautiful. So this one is already very good. Very, very beautiful. Yeah. And to move on to this stage is not easy. Not easy. So sadhu to you, Amy. You can continue. Whatever you have experienced, you continue to share.
Yeah, like Bertil say last time was more on external
world,
external environment. World. Environment, nature's vibration.
Yes, and all those things. Then
now
your
it's the
inner
internal
awareness capture that. And now it's internal.
Internal.
You look into your physical, your awareness doing the work. That is the phase where after this, your vibration become very different. Then very likely your mundane mind can collapse. Then after that, your nature will shine forth and a lot of things will happen. Then your daily mindfulness, everything will become very different. Wow, sadhu. Rejoice.
Yeah, and then actually, Matthew, when aware of all this, how shall I say, phenomena,
yeah.
Whether internally, externally, then this kind of understanding pop up.
Mm.
You say that that's why in the Satipatthana, after every foundation,
yes,
they repeated this same phrase.
Correct.
That
sadhu.
That one is very beautiful. Now you can understand that phrase already.
Yes.
Ah.
These are just for their awareness.
Ah.
Just the
develop the wisdom and motivation on it. Ah.
Yeah, just repeated or continuous awareness.
Yes.
That I can capture, but without it, just for bare awareness, just
nothing just else to develop the wisdom on it. Huh?
Yeah, but like Brother Teo said, aware and finish. That's aware, finish.
Yeah, there's no reality on. The rest is no reality on. That's why they only exist for that purpose of training.
Yeah.
And nothing else. Yeah. So don't go and cling to it and thought that is the thing that you must have. You will be trapped. The thought based on will be trapped. Because the thing that frees us is the understanding, the wisdom from the four foundations. That one is very good. Sadhu to you.
And then it's just the bare awareness and continuous awareness and without clinging to the world.
Correct. Correct.
Then I understand this world. This world means the external world and internal world.
The internal world.
Within this body and mind.
Yeah, mind make created sadhu.
Without grasping on these five aggregates of form and mind and on outside the external five aggregates of form and mind.
Yeah,
so
very
without
good.
Grasping. So this understanding sadhu just pop up like that in the mind.
Yes, that is stated in every foundation, end of every foundation. You say they exist only for this purpose, nothing else. Maybe you wait, huh? I go upstairs and get the Satipatthana book, the chief reverend, the thin one. I read the actual wording. It will benefit a lot of people. Say, the first foundation, the four foundation of mindfulness. The Buddha said, what are the four? Here, bhikkhu. Bhikkhu live contemplating the body in the body, ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful of it. Having overcome in this world covetousness and grief. This part I already explained. You have not overcome covetousness and grief means the first and second sinhood, means the first three fetters, and including the second stage of sinhood, attenuated essential desire, you will. You cannot overcome covetousness and grief. Then he lived contemplating, feeling. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful, having overcome in this world covetousness and grief, then only he live contemplating content of consciousness in content of consciousness, means the citta. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful, and having overcome in this world covetousness and grief, he live contemplating. Here they use mental object is not the appropriate translation. It should be Dhamma. Dhamma in Dhamma. Ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful, and having overcome in this world covetousness and grief. Then after that, he continued. Then he go through the first Anapanasati. After he finished Anapanasati, then he, towards the end, he say, he live contemplating origination thing in the body, or he live contemplating dissolution things in the body, and he live contemplating origination and dissolution. This one they will go through in the kaya, mindfulness is established for what? So this one is where you able to locate it. Or indeed, his mindfulness is established with the understanding. Here the book used thought, is not thought, with the understanding the body exists. This applies to all the foundation. The body exists, or feeling exists, or citta exists, or dhamma exists, to the extent necessarily just for understanding and remembrance. And he lives independent and cling to none. Not, N-A-U-G-H-T is produced as not or what? None. cling to none. I use the word none better. In the world. Thus, also, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu lives contemplating the four foundations in mindfulness in this manner. That's why the Satipatthana is very beautiful, very accurate. The phenomenal world of consciousness and form, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, they are the phenomenal world for us to develop mindfulness, awareness, so that we can go back to our nature, insight into phenomena, awaken and understand. That's why the fourth foundation of mindfulness is to develop awareness, stability of it, and understand the characteristic and awaken. Nothing else. Cling on to none in the world. So this understanding is very important, and it's beautiful that you can really link it, because this is the part a lot of people don't understand. And I didn't explain this part really, because nobody has come near to that. So for you, it's really amazing, beautiful English. Salute to you. You can continue.
And then when I reporting this, now this another understanding pop up at this moment, that the third noble truth, the cessation of grasping of five aggregates of form and mind is the end of suffering, the end of dukkha.
Yes.
This must be realized.
Sadhu.
All interconnected.
Yeah, all linked. That's why the whole teaching is so beautiful.
So, cessation of dukkha, not the whole nibbana, I would say.
Correct.
Even a small cessation of dukkha that we can realize, it is already a joy to rejoice.
Yes, it's already a very beautiful realization, understanding, because the form and mind is actually our karmically conditioned form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for us to come. So that aspect of the understanding is very important. So when that one do not grasp and cling to delusion, that's how cessation of dukkha occur. Then when it occur, like the Bodhi mind that realize that teaching, that understanding, that wisdom, able to subdue or endure and severe or affliction, is through that wisdom connected to that form and mind. And all this become very clear. So cessation of suffering or dukkha or the realization of nibbana is a complete understanding of that non-attachment, the relinquishment, where there is no grasping, clinging anymore, because it realized the five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent. They lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all these are mine. So that realization will cause the sankhara to cease, the mundane mind to cease. That it will not want to know things, cling on to things, that it will know everything is mind-made. No reality, come and go, come and go. Like the Diamond Sutra and all those things, each year you wave on, Lu Meng. So all this becomes very clear. Then it stops. Then that nature go through that process. And finally, you will realize the more stable and longer period of cessation, Nibbana experience. And that transformation will come later on. Especially before your mundane mind collapse, it will keep on happening. But you have to continue with your awareness-based meditation and daily mindfulness, stabilize it and contemplate until your wisdom is very, very stable, until everything is like already understood. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then the mind just every time relax, silent, and maintain awareness. Then one day, without you knowing, without you expecting anything or what, that nature just arise. Means that Monday mind just is. That you will go through that transformation, which is the realization of Nibbana. Yeah. And that one is very beautiful. That one, if it arises, you should let it be, and you will know what that thing is, and you will go through. And this one is no more a glimpse when it happened. Earlier on, it's a glimpse. Oh, this one will happen for longer period, longer period. Then you start to understand what the unconditioned is. Then that one is another phase of cultivation. Then that time, your faith is really unshakable. Everything becomes very different. Your transformation process all become very different. Sadhu. Very good, Amy. Sadhu.
Sadhu, Bhatio.
You can continue.
I think that meditation reporting, I think, is just like that.
Yeah. Good enough, Sadhu. Yeah.
May I just add in a little bit on Brother Teo usually say think also like that. Don't think also like that.
Yes.
I have been doing contemplation on your these two phrases.
Wow, Sadhu.
think definitely we know, we understand by now.
Yeah.
Sankhara, Anicang, and Dukkha.
Yeah.
You'll definitely bring suffering or dukkha if we keep on proliferating our mental activities.
Correct.
I'm wanted to find out the non-thinking also like that. So that's why I I contemplate, and then maybe Brother Teo can guide me
on
whether what I did is is okay or not.
Yeah. You're right.
By not thinking, don't think also like that, huh? Don't think to me is desire of don't want to think. No, don't want to think is a craving. One thing itself.
The one is a craving.
It's a craving desire to not want to think, because we know that thinking will bring suffering.
Yes. But
in a way, do not want to think is also
It's a duality. So how to penetrate this? That part you have to reflect on it. That part is what I told you all the time. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. You got it already.
So what for? Like Brother Teo say, 来也空去也空.
Which means why you want to think? Because you think, by thinking you can understand, you can gain knowledge, you can solve the problem. Actually, it's all empty. You go and think for what? That's why you think also like that. Don't think also like that. Because these are duality. Then the mind that has this understanding naturally is a wisdom that understand means no more duality, then it don't have to do anything. It don't have to like want to think, want to cultivate, want to develop awareness, want to perfect the wisdom. This is all the egoic mind still behind. But when you can let things be accord and flow and silent, and just the awareness nature be with all phenomena, that is what Satipatthana is. Means from Kaya Nupasana to Vedana Nupasana to Chitta Nupasana, then to Dhamma Nupasana. The Dhamma Nupasana is the most powerful, because when it comes to the Four Noble Truths, it will know this Four Noble Truths is the ultimate teaching. And the Third Noble Truth can only be realized when you have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path. So the Noble Eightfold Path is the path that leads to the cessation of all suffering. But this Noble Eightfold Path, you must understand, because this part I never share yet. This Noble Eightfold Path is for mundane cessation of all suffering because we live in a conditioned world. That's why we have the Noble Eightfold Path factor. If you go by this, you are actually following the advice of the Buddha. Noble Eightfold Path is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. You avoid all evil, and you purify your mind, and you cultivate wholesomeness. Then you are incapable of negativity. So all form of suffering or dukkha, you follow this, you can resolve it amicably. Then you solve your problem. But the final, ultimate understanding of this Noble Eightfold Path is, once you know how to live life, then you know that all these are not a reality, then the cessation can only happen when you don't try to realize anything, achieve anything, or become anything. Just like Ajahn Chah say, don't try to become an arahant. Then since you cannot understand, it's because he thought he must cultivate the perfection of all the wholesome state. Then he doesn't want the defilement, the dust, so that no dust. So all these are caught in duality, caught in thought process. That's why the actual cessation is after you have gone into that nature's four foundation of mindfulness training, then through our awareness-based meditation, means not through Dhamma knowledge and all those things, the four foundation of mindfulness that people do through thought process and all the technique method, that one is mostly thought-based. They cannot come to this realization. This realization that I share with you, think also like that, don't think also like that, come from the penetrative understanding and wisdom that we have already cultivated. So this is the unconditioned Dhamma. The unconditioned Dhamma is the ultimate wisdom with that ability to connect to the form and mind. And this form and mind, when it understands this, then it knows. Think also like that, don't think also like that. It's just like they say, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Why do you grieve over emptiness in between? So thinking is sankhara. Sankhara is anicchang. Sankhara is dukkang. Sankhara is anatta. It cannot solve problem. It cannot bring about any solution. But you have to understand that this has the universal characteristic. They pertain to the conditioned world. They are phenomenal with that universal characteristic. So the moment you understand, that is the wisdom that free. That's why you will know how to make use of sankhara. Use sankhara, the user of thought. That's why sankhara has its place in society, in life, like I explained. Not for cultivation to become enlightened, not for psychological thing and all those things, but for technical and all the things that you need to communicate, describe things, share and all these things, you use thought. So the understanding of the mundane and the supramundane, they are both required to understand life and to live life. And this is the path. If you don't do awareness-based meditation, you cannot understand. You become one-sided. So now you have slowly going to penetrate what I share. Think also like that, don't think also like that. But that one is still from the sankhara, the mundane, the thought process. The nature has nothing. Like Hui Neng said, 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? So that nature that we need to realize is the unconditioned. And how to realize the unconditioned? We cannot think. That's why I say don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Don't arise anything. Just let things be. And when you do that, when the condition all fall into place, when it's ready, it will go through cessation. You will realize Nibbana. And this time is no more a glimpse that happened to you earlier on. This time is a complete cessation. And it will last for longer and longer and longer period. And you have the condition, go into it, realize it, understand it, that it will come out by itself. The timing of your nature will know. And when it come out, silence everything and observe. Then you will understand what I shared earlier on and how you come back to become like normal again. How your mundane mind come back. And how that mundane mind arise from that nature. You can see all this. That's how wisdom come to be. That's how healing come to know how amazing this nature is. That it is already complete by itself. Nothing is apart from it. And all Dhamma, yet all Dhamma arise from it. Nothing is apart from it. So all this understanding, it will fall into place and become very, very beautiful. And it will complete your understanding and wisdom training. That's why after that, the cessation keep on happening. Then because you already taken the vow, you don't have to worry. The vow will take effect. Because by then, your parami, everything will be very, very different. Then with this life condition that you have set for your nature, following the yellow card, in future when you come, you become very beautiful. Your form and mind, every life you come, you will have all this right view, right understanding, affirmation, wow, everything. Then your cultivation become like very straightforward. It's like automatic. It will take you along. The vow will take you along. The understanding, the whatever aspiration is, right view, aspiration, and whatever you. Yeah, whatever you need to do, you already done under the yellow card. Cultivate affinity with great being, invoke repentance, ask for forgiveness to break karmic obstruction, then cultivate the extensive blessing, perfection, and virtue for causes and conditions to help you overcome whatever condition or problem that you or difficulty that you may go. All this is already there. That's why what I share to you on the yellow card is what Maitreya want me to bring to the world. 请你把正法传下去. That is the one. The first one is easier, the teaching. The teaching I know. I have this teaching which is beyond thought, beyond mind. The awareness nature, the awareness based type of teaching. And that one I have already agreed since 2008. And I've been sharing and teaching. Yeah. But the Bodhisattva way only the last few years. I think 2015, end of 2015 it started. Yeah. That one we have to thank a few Kayamita, especially Sister Padmasri, they all who wrote to me, then created the condition and all this thing. Mm. So this is very beautiful. Yeah. Sadhu to you, Amy. So by now, after my experience, you go back and listen to this again. I think you should already have the understanding of what I mean. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. I realized after I have the understanding, my cessation for longer period happened. Then after that, within short period, the mundane mind collapsed. And a lot of things happened and the transformation all moved. As I remember those understanding, think also like that, don't think also like that. Yeah. So with that, hopefully it can create understanding for you, Amy. Sadhu.
Sadhu, Radio. Yeah. Thank you, Sadhu. Sadhu.
Yeah.
In a way, what I initial understanding is the don't think also like that is the accord and flow in a very profound understanding.
Yeah,
accord and flow.
Yes, means there is no duality involved. There is no one to think or the one to think one. Nothing to do with that. Because it's an understanding. I already have the understanding that I think also wasting time. I don't think also wasting time. Then naturally no need to think and no need not to think. We are both also not necessary. We are both are duality. Yeah. When I hold on to one, I create the opposite. When I don't hold on to any because I understood already, both also not necessary. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then what is in between? There is echo and flow and cease, let things be, amidst suchness, tatata, see things as they are, and accept the reality of the moment, means realize that is the only reality, like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Finish. That understanding is the truth. And truth is suchness, the isness of things. That's why everything is just the way it is. No this, no that. No right, no wrong. The world is the world. Then that wisdom is very penetrating. That's why now you start to link why I teach you how to see things as they are and how to accept the world as the world, people the way they are. Then how to develop the right view, the right understanding, and the wisdom to be at peace with all things. All this comes from that understanding, that final realization. So what I share is to speed up your contemplative wisdom so that you can reach this level straight away. And a lot of Kayamita know that one is very helpful. Last time, you all cannot accept all those funny people who scold you, abuse you, and do all those things to you. How can you accept and agree with what they do? That's why finally I say, the reason why people stir their mind and react and become emotional is because they cannot accept the reality. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Foolish people do foolish things. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people, angry people, emotional people do violent emotional things. All this, when you understand, it becomes so beautiful. It falls into place. Then the acceptance of all this become the wisdom. There is no right, no wrong. Your people are just the way they are. So right according to who is a convention, relative truth, not an ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is the reality. The reality is the isness of things, the suchness of things. That's why I see it. So all this become very meaningful. Then the Surangama Sutta, the Diamond Sutta, the Heart Sutta, all the teaching become very beautiful. Then all the saying become beautiful, like the Surangama Sutta. Perception of form is consciousness, the rest is non-perception, is wisdom. Oh, all this you will understand. Then the Diamond Sutta, 一切如微宝，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观。 All the Dhamma become so beautiful and they are so clear. So this is the true understanding. That's why it's very beautiful when you have the condition to understand and we can develop until this level of sharing is so beautiful. So Sadhya is meant to be. That's why all this can come about, the condition all can manifest. Very, very good, Sadhya.
Thank you very much, Sadhu.
So let us rejoice in what Engi has created, the condition for us to have this beautiful sharing and condition to understand so much deeper and more profound. So this one can help a lot of cultivators even later when you go through all the transformation and the cultivation. This will still be very useful, very beneficial. So let's rejoice first. Sadhu.
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 Sadhu.